changed. He turned to the console and powered up its communication system. "Security office," Grant said firmly. The screen showed one of the young men who had accompanied Beach in the infirmary. He was still dressed in a somber dark suit, clean-shaven, hair neatly combed. "I want to make a call to my wife," he said. The young man shook his head. "You are being held incommunicado. That means no outgoing calls. Be grateful that we allowed you out of the infirmary." Grant nodded curtly and cut the connection. "Red Devlin," he told the communications computer. The screen remained blank for a few moments, but at last Devlin's youthful mustachioed face grinned back at him.
"Hey there, Grant. What can I do for you?"
Devlin appeared to be in the kitchen area. Grant could see tall stainless steel freezer doors behind him and the corner of what looked like an electric stove. "I need to make an outgoing call," Grant said, "and the powers that be want to keep me incommunicado." Devlin arched a brick-red eyebrow. "You want me to skirt around the new morality blokes, is that it?"
"Yes. Can you do it?"
"For you, chum. Damn right I'll do it. You're a bloody hero, and those silly bastards are a major pain in the backside."
Grant hesitated.
It'll be a personal message. To my wife."
Devlin nodded.
"I understand. Compress it and squirt it to me on the regular phone system. I'll send it to a pal on my Earth side along with my usual purchasing list. He'll shoot it off to the proper party for you."
"Thanks, Red," said Grant. "I owe you one." Laughing, Devlin replied,
"Hey, you're going to be a big mucky-muck around here one of these days. Got to be on your good side, don't I now?"
Grant kept his message to Marjorie brief. He told her he was fine, but there were some problems with the official red tape that kept him from calling her directly. "We'll get it all straightened out pretty quickly, I'm sure," Grant said, thinking of the shiploads of journalists heading for the station. "But..." He hesitated, licked his lips, then made the decision. "But I'm going to be staying here at Jupiter, at the station here for a long time, Marjorie. I want you with me. I need you with me. Will you come out here? I know it means dropping your work with the peacekeepers, but your 2 years of public service are almost finished anyway. Come here, please. I love you, Marjorie. I miss you terribly. Come work with me. Live with me. This is where I've got to be, and I've got to have you here, too." Not daring to review his message, Grant data compressed it and fired it off to Devlin. "Red will get it through to Marjorie," he told himself. "It might take a day or two, but she'll get my message." He got up from the console and walked slowly up the ramp and out into the corridor. "Then we'll see," he thought. "Will she come out here to be with me?" Grant felt confident that she would. Despite the time and distance between them, he still loved his wife. "Does she still love me? Enough to come all the way out here?" "Yes," he answered silently, "I think she does. But even if she doesn't, I've got to stay here. I've got to." He walked aimlessly along the station's main corridor. People greeted him with smiles and hellos and even pats on the back. Grant smiled and helloed and waved at them all, and found himself at last in the station's observation lounge. Alone, he stepped inside and softly closed the door behind him. The lounge was dark, with only tiny lights on the floor to mark where a couch and a pair of padded chairs stood. Its long windows were shuttered. Almost like a blind man, Grant went to the faintly glowing switch that activated the shutters. They peeled back smoothly, without a sound except the muted hum of an electric motor. Light from Jupiter's massive globe flooded into the lounge. Grant felt the breath catch in his throat as he saw the colorful roiled clouds rushing across the face of the giant planet. "There are living creatures beneath those clouds," he reminded himself. "And in the ocean, there are intelligent creatures."
creatures. Of that, he was certain. He also realized that he was ready to spend the rest of his life trying to prove it. So much work to do. So much to learn, to discover. The view of Jupiter slid by as the station turned slowly, and Grant saw the curve of the glowing planet give way to the blackness of infinite space. It took a few moments for his eyes to adjust, and then he saw the stars, thousands of stars staring back at him. "O Lord," said Grant, remembering the ancient psalm, "I love the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth." And then he smiled. They can try to keep us incommunicado. They can try to silence us. But knowledge is more powerful than ignorance. Curiosity is more powerful than fear. Grant laughed aloud, then turned and left the observation lounge, heading for his new tasks, his new responsibilities, ready to do God's work.
Jupiter is really a novel about exploration and discovery. Not only the exploration of the biggest, meanest, wildest planet in the whole solar system, but it's a story about a young man who discovers himself and what drives him and the conflict within him between his love of science and his religious faith. Jupiter is part of a series of novels I've been writing that began with the moon base novels and the novels about exploring Mars. And what I'm doing is writing about the human expansion through the solar system in the 21st century. We know what's out there. And in this century, the human race is going to go and build habitats on the moon, build self-sufficient human settlements, and expand even farther to Mars, to the planet Venus, to Jupiter, and even beyond. The whole solar system is going to become our playground and our workshop. Now, I've always been interested in the question, how do we get there from here? I think most people believe that sooner or later, human beings will be living in space throughout the solar system and then probably go on and out to the stars themselves. But the question is, how do we do it? And why do we do it? What's happening on Earth that will drive human beings into these wildly inhospitable places? Jupiter is very, very different from the Earth. It's the largest planet in the solar system. It's more than 10 times bigger than the Earth, crushing gravity. Although it's very cold at the tops of the clouds of Jupiter, down below those clouds, the planet is heated from within. It's like an oven. And below those clouds, thousands of miles below the clouds, I postulate a planet-wide ocean. It's an ocean mainly of water. It has lots of ammonia in it as well, and it's very corrosive. But in that ocean, you know, an ocean 10 times larger than the planet Earth, an ocean where there is no land at all, not even an island, in that ocean there is life. And the question facing the human beings trying to explore Jupiter is that life intelligent? How do we decide if other creatures totally unlike us are truly intelligent? Are we eager to make contact with them or afraid? Some people are eager, some are scared. And back on Earth, with a greenhouse global warming that has suddenly hit and nearly shattered the whole Earth, we have people who feel exploring the universe is foolish, it's a waste of time and money. You should be spending your efforts trying to rebuild the Earth. So there's lots of conflict here. And the pivotal character in this whole story is a young man who wants to be a scientist, who does have a religious faith, and finds that these two forces are pulling on him in opposite directions. So Jupiter is, as I started to say, a novel of exploration and discovery.